I feel like that video was so long, I was actually there already. If you want to, the Binions are some of the best worship leaders in America. They were here at the first of the year for us, and not only are they coming, but their pastor, Pastor Mike Hayes, will be here from Covenant Church. Covenant Church in Texas is one of the largest churches in the country, and it is an apostolic movement. They have multiple campuses like we do, and a true apostolic leader and a general in the kingdom. So next Sunday, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a wonderful time from the first song to the last amen. Amen. Part two this morning, series called Strength Training, thus the visual enhancements on the stage. God and his kingdom offer every single citizen in it strength. So strength in the kingdom of God is not a thing that happens by chance. It's a choice. Subtitle today is The Secret of the Eagle. Our main text will be Isaiah chapter 40. If you would follow along in your notes, please. Isaiah 40. Man, do I love this chapter as God introduces himself in such a dramatic way to broken people. Isaiah was written to people that needed restoration, that didn't know God could do it, that didn't know they could have it. But by the end of it, they were ready for it. Here's what God says to us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? God not asking because he lacks the knowledge, but he is now going to teach us some things. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. So God never has a bad day. God's batteries never run low. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. So this God, this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, invites us now to know something about him. He says, I have all these attributes and I'm willing to share them. He, this God, the creator God, gives power to the weak. And to those that have no might, he increases strength. Weakness is always a temporary condition for the children of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. We all become weak. Life takes from us strength, but God himself empowers the weak. Even youth shall faint. We live in a time when that is dramatically true. They shall be weary. So young people burning out, experiencing pressures and stresses, usually reserved for later in life by overexposure to the elements of life, to all that is happening. Young men will fall. So God says, even in this season, when the pressures and the burdens and the calamities of life start wearing out, start wearying, start overcoming the young, he said, here's the way out. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So God says, I have a program. Here's what it is. I can recharge your batteries if you'll come to me. They shall, God says, I'm giving you the choice. I'm giving you the ability, the capacity, the availability. I want you to know something. God says, I've given you wings. And your wings will take you right to me if you use them. You are an eagle, and it's time to soar. The word wait is the Hebrew word kovah. Kovah means to expect, to hope. It is a great word. It means more than just sitting and hoping something happens. It means to be engaged. It means to join together, to bind, to twist something until it's one, to bind together by twisting. It's a expectant waiting, a hopeful waiting. It is an active waiting. It is a joining to God. So those that twist their self around God. It's as simple as this. Those that crack their Bible open shall renew their strength. Those that begin their days on their knees with God, waiting upon Him, loving Him, worshiping Him, praying, will the rest of their day walk in authority and soar like an eagle. Those that seek the Lord will find the Lord. Those that draw near to God, God will draw near to them. Those that humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, God will raise them up. So God says, I've given you as eagles the opportunity to soar above your troubles and to renew your strength. What a promise. So strength is not something that we passively wait for like a doctor's office hoping to get an appointment. But strength is what we obtain when we wrap our arms around God, when we seek Him, when we worship Him, when we pray. Prayer creates power. Prayer releases power. Amen? Prayer releases strength. So our time with God, the time we spend with God, God created us as eagles to soar in the heavens, not to live our lives locked up in the cages of fear, discouragement, hopelessness, or weariness. By instincts, eagles soar by spreading their wings, and God's given us the same spiritual instincts to seek Him and to soar in the heavenlies. It's time, amen. Get ready for a soaring summer. Get ready for a new beginning. Get ready for a fresh start. Get ready for renewed strength. Lord, bless your word. Anoint your servant and anoint your people and change us. Let this be a service where your spirit charges us and we go home different. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this verse because years ago when Mary and I first started a church, we called it Eagle's Nest because I studied about eagles and I fell in love with the whole concept. The Bible uses it frequently, talking about likening God's people and especially overcomers to eagles. So inside of all of us, there is the eagle nature. There's this nature from God that we can soar above life's difficulties, that we can renew our strength. So no matter where you are in life, no matter what you've been through, the things you've been through and the strength you've lost or the battles you've faced aren't bigger than God. God can help us, and God can strengthen us, and God can make us, though we be weak, He can make us strong. An eagle, as I was studying, here's some things I found out. The secret of the eagle is this. An eagle can double its lifespan, not just by a automatic, non-changing existence, but by behavioral change can double its lifespan. And so here's what I found out when I researched eagles 35 years ago. Number one, the first thing an eagle does at middle age, now, it's been through a lot of stuff. It's been through some fights. It's been through some storms. Its beak now is dull. Its feathers are heavy. Its wounds have been unexposed to any kind of healing properties in a long time. So the first thing an eagle does to begin a life renewal is it sharpens its dull beak. It sharpens its dull beak. So let me begin by saying this. You can't become spiritually strong when you're verbally weak. You can't be something different than what you've declared. So our problem is, well, people, Pastor, yeah, I'm just being, but people today, I'm just being real. Really? I'm just telling it like it is. No, you're telling it like it is without God. Here's what God does. As the Bible introduces us to God, comparing Him and Abraham to each other, it says God and Abraham both called things that are not as though they were. God doesn't say, hey, it's a horrible day. God says, I command this day to be a blessed day. God doesn't say, my kids are crazy. My marriage is falling apart. Nothing's going to work out. God says, bless those, speak healing, speak life. Don't say the word divorce out of your mouth. Say the word restoration. Bless your spouse. Bless your children. Don't give the devil ammunition by agreeing with him on what he's doing in your family. So the first thing an eagle does is sharpens its words. And so you can't change your direction until you change your vocabulary. See, the secret of counseling is just listening to people, because two things will happen. They'll tell you what's wrong with them, and usually they'll tell you what they need. If you just let them talk long enough, the answer will come out of them. The problem is in counseling is almost never finding the answer. It is getting people to do it. Getting people to choose it. You can't eat like a pigeon and soar like an eagle. What do pigeons do? They eat the stuff off the ground. What are pigeons? Flying rats. We have an attitude about pigeons here on our property for some reasons. Mainly poop. Some poopy reasons. The secret of the eagle is, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it, what? The right choice, the power of blessing, will eat its fruit. Here's what I found out. Lots of people love death and eat the fruit of it. There are some people, every encounter with them is a barrage of negativity. It's not because they hate you, it's just because they hate life. They love death. But once you come to the kingdom, your mind gets right. Get your mind right. You're supposed to bless your city. You're supposed to bless your governor. You're supposed to bless politicians instead of complaining about them all. You're supposed to bless your pastor. I just snuck that in there. Say things. So, let me quote this psalm to you. It's not on your notes. Psalm 103. I love this psalm. David spoke from his mouth to his heart. I will bless the Lord. Shut up down there. We're having a praise service. I'm taking control. Lift your hands. Okay. I don't feel like lifting my hands. Who does? You with me? If I only worshiped God the time I felt like it, that's six times. When everything was going great. No problems, no everything. Oh, I can't wait to worship the Lord. No, you command yourself. I began to exercise in my own daily routine. I spend an hour with the Lord in prayer every day. And so what I do is I start thanking God. So I said, thank you, God, for creation, the sun, the moon, the planets, the galaxies, the stars, the earth, the animals, plants, birds, fish, oceans, seas, rivers, streams, mountains, valleys, rocks, element, beauty, design, complexity. Thank you for the nations. Thank you for life. Thank you for my ancestors. They were crazy, but thank you for them. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Then I get into the good stuff. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Though my sins be scarlet, you've made me white as snow. Thank you for adoption. Thank you for sonship. Thank you for abundance of grace. Thank you for the gift of righteousness, justification, sanctification, glorification. Thank you for your kingdom, your word, your spirit. Ah! Right about then it kicks in. Woo! It's going to be a good day. I have drunk enough of the wine of thanksgiving. I've adjusted my inner emotions now. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103, and all that is within me. He says, shut up down there. We're going to worship. All that is with me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What was he doing? Waiting on God. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now here's my whole point, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. If you can fix your mouth, you can fix your marriage. If you can fix your mouth, you can fix your business. If you can fix your mouth, you can fix your ministry. Mary and I go through all kinds of steps, but other things are going wrong. I found myself I'm always, I've been watchful my whole life with Christ about what I say. I don't say things about people. I don't gossip about pastors. If I hear something horrible going on, I pray for that person. And so, but anyways, so many things were going bad that I started having a pity party, you know, is when we had all those bad things happen in the 90s and the scandal and the loss of money, lawyers and front page news. And so I'm getting an attitude. I'm becoming a pessimist. So I'm driving in the car to the city of Maricopa, and my son, Matthew, had a basketball game. He's a freshman playing for the team, and both my sons were the little basketball prodigies. So anyways, driving down there, I got a bunch of kids in the back, Melody and her friends, they're all shouting and having a good time, and I'm in the front by myself having a pity party. As I'm thinking about all these things going on, I said out of my mouth, I feel like I'm cursed. I said that. We get to the game. Matthew won the game with last second shot. This was so exciting. I come out of the game. I go to my parking spot. I had parked, I remember, between a Lexus and a Mercedes. My Honda minivan. Forgot to throw that in. And so I came to the spot where my Honda minivan was parked an hour before, and mysteriously it had vanished. My mind began to do all kinds of contortions, and my first thought was, who in their right mind would walk around a Lexus and step over a Mercedes and steal a Honda minivan? Something's wrong with that person right there. I'm thinking about those things, and I realized my car's stolen. Some kids did steal it. They ruined it, took it in the desert, and, you know, had a joyride. So we got it back a few weeks later. So I'm standing there, and now I'm thinking, you know, I guess I was right about the whole curse business. And so as I'm contemplating these things, God steps into my world uninvited. Because I kept thinking, why my car? I used lots of miles on it, Honda minivan. Now, if you drive a Honda, God bless you, but who's going to steal your Honda minivan? Someone high on drugs. That's going to do it. So anyways, I'm thinking about that, and so, why my car? And this one sentence came from God to my mind. Why was my car stolen? Because your car was the only car cursed in this parking lot. Your car was the only car cursed. It's always a miserable moment when you realize you're at fault for your own trouble. Isn't it always better to blame somebody? Blame the devil, blame God. I'm killing a bug. I just saved your life, Reverend. My car was the only car. Then the Lord refreshed my memory about what I said out loud. I go, man, bummer. Don't give ammunition to hell to bring a fresh assault to your life by what you say. Death and life. I was ministering for a church in California. I'd flown over in after morning services. I said, I'm going to take a brief nap. You know, when you do three or four services in a day, it's physically taxing. The pastor is upset. He wanted me to go like 2 hours early and pray with him. I said, man, I gotta have some downtime and some quiet time. So he's upset, but I don't care. I'm trying to make it through the day alive. So I lay down. As soon as I lay down, I felt a demonic agency attack me. And whenever you feel, whenever the devil kind of oversteps his boundaries and does something he's not allowed to, it was like someone physically touched me across the face, like a slap. I woke up, I was, you know, startled, then I was mad. And the moment I thought about that, I had a vision. And the vision was the pastor driving to the church. And here's what the pastor said. Damn that lazy preacher. The moment he said, damn, a demon slapped me in the face. You see, there are lots of people that have power that can't ever grow to the next level because they've never proven that they can be trusted with more because they abuse it. And if God, you see, everybody wants to raise the dead, but before you raise someone from the dead, you have to be able to go a month without killing somebody with your own words. I'm believing for a revival. So am I. But in the meantime, stop tearing down every church. Oh, the church is horrible. It's better since you left. The eagle does with a sharpened beak. What the eagle does next is beautiful. It rotates around its body and it plucks out every feather. Now, let me just say this. Your words have the power to coat you with a new identity. When your words are in agreement with God's promise over your life. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Can I have an amen from this Episcopalian congregation? Our words have power. Our words then can create a new identity, can create then a freshness of life. A couple of points. Listen to the things you've said about yourself, because what you say about yourself today is what you'll experience in your world tomorrow. Listen to what you're saying about your future. Listen to what you're saying about your life and your family and your world. God wants us to choose life. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to use our words. Eagle pulls out every feather. God wants to take you to a new place, but you have to change your garments. The good thing about being married, especially as a man, is my wife, whenever we go anywhere public, I have to pass the Mary test. Things have to match. I've learned about color coordination in 35 years of marriage. Apparently, that's important to women. Never bothered me as a bachelor. I didn't care if it matched. Who cared? I'll be at the store. This still happens today. I don't shop frequently, but when I happen to be with Mary shopping, I'll find something. Usually it'll be a bright orange or yellow. And I'll say, man, I'd love to wear that to church on Sunday. She'll look at me like, when are you going to get it? Now listen to me. The heaviness of your past will hold you down from the heights of your future until you let it go. And these feathers now are heavy. These feathers worn. These feathers exhausted by decades of flight. The eagle plucks them out one by one. And now realizing for the first time since its infancy, the eagle is completely naked. On the inside, all the scars, the branches it ran to, any eagle fights, any diseases, anything that had never seen daylight is suddenly available. It's exposed. It's vulnerable. And so the eagle then does the third thing. It finds a fresh water source. Usually a waterfall or a fresh stream. And for 30 or 40 straight days, that eagle will bathe under a waterfall or stand in a stream and let the water wash over every hurt, every place that was darkened and covered up. And God says to us, let me wash you with my word. He makes the church glorious by the washing of the water of his word. His spirit is like a living river that washes over you. So God likens water to his word and to his spirit, to his kingdom, to his love, to his presence. When we let the word of God, when we let the spirit of God wash over it, it heals us where we hurt. And it heals us in places that have never seen daylight until we show them to God. You can't get strong until you let God see what has been unseen. Of course, he sees it. It's the act of transparency that releases the process of renewal. If we reveal it, Jesus will heal it. Amen? Standing there watching. So what happens then, after a few weeks, new teenage feathers grow back. Ladies, this is the best spa in the world. You go in as a 50-year-old and you come out as a 20-year-old. That's the deal. And brand new feathers, and then at the top of its shoulders, pouches of oil appear, and it pops those pouches, and now fresh oil. The whole feather is anointed by oil. When the eagle comes down from the mountain after 5 or 6 weeks, it's been entirely renewed by choice, by decision, by activity. Your strength can be renewed by choice and decision. You don't have to. See, the Bible says young people will burn out. You're too young to be burned out. But you're too Christian to be burned out. What happens in ministry, Putnam is Dr. Cray, Averna, Harris says, know this. People burn out. Bonnie knows, when people burn out, when their outflow is greater than their inflow. But they that wait join themselves to God, twist together. They that seek him. I spend time every day down here. I don't care if anybody's watching. Nobody knows. Doesn't matter. I begin down here. Pastor, what are you doing? I'm waiting on God. I'm seeking him with my whole heart. If you come to my house, either Mary and I, or you'll find one of us on the floor. Like a tag team. Your turn. Hit the rug, sister. What are you doing? Getting strong. Working out. What are you doing? I'm getting stronger. Why are these so much weights? 50 pounds. That kind of reminds me of my week right there. Really? What God says to us is this. If you'll just give me time with you, my time with you will make you strong with them. Pastor, my family drives you a bit crazy. They're going to help. They're your launching board. What do you call it? In the pool, the jumping board? Your family's dysfunction is your diving board to Jesus. The best prayer warriors are always the people with the greatest problems. The eagle flies back. The envy of other eagles. What happens when an eagle does not renew its strength? Its beak dull, its feathers heavy, its speed slowed, its capacity now diminished. It begins to change its behavior in midlife from catching fresh food into living off of others' catches like a vulture. It changes to only survive what others catch. But the eagle that renews itself soars. There are, listen, heaven is blowing a trumpet of invitation, saying it's time for the eagles to arise. It's time for the mounting up of a generation. Everybody's waiting for God to do something. God just says, spread your wings. You'll see everything I can do. Just seek me and you'll find me. Draw near to me. I will draw near to you. Call upon me. I will answer you. Worship me until heaven comes. Pray until something happens. Press in. Don't let go. Bind you. Twist yourself around me. Get into my word until my word gets into you. Spend time in my presence until all of the things that were so burdensome before suddenly melt away. Like we sang, Jesus, nothing else matters. Everything is dwarfed. Everything is put into proper perspective when an eagle begins to rise. Hey, stand your feet, all you eagles, this morning. Let's rise. Prayer team, would you join me down front, please? Tell someone next to you, I'm an eagle. I'm an eagle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, loving Father. We honor you. We worship you this morning. Ah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you have a, how many of you have a good worship tape at home? Or in your car? If you'll change your diet, you'll change your life. You can mount up on wings when you're driving in your car. You can mount up with wings at the office. Nobody will look at. On the inside, you're beginning to say, Lord, I love you. I worship you. Keep doing your job, but you're worshiping God. You can mount up with wings on an airplane. You can go any place. It's called the secret place. The moment you connect with God, it's just a sentence away, a second away, a breath away, and a worshipful heart away. And everything will change. Well, how appropriate is next week? We're going to have another great worship team with us. It's time to worship our way into a new place. As we dismiss the service, so many of the precious people that raised their hands to receive Christ today, we would love to talk to you, love to go over, love to pray for you again at the altar. If you have time, come and let talk about what happened and where you're going. Just, we want to solidify it with you. If you're here today, if you are just going through a tremendously difficult time, say, Pastor, all kinds of pressures in my world. I could use a good eagle praying over me. We got a bunch of eagles at this altar to pray over you. If you're hurting in your heart, your mind, your body, and need healing in your life in any way, we're ready to release to you the grace that is ours in Christ. By his stripes we are healed. He heals all your diseases. If you need prayer for any reason, would you come forward now? We would love to pray for you today. Wednesday night, we're having prophetic services. Last Wednesday, just spent the whole time prophesying and worshiping. It was a great night. This night, I feel just to go for it again. Anyone that need prayer, come on down forward. The rest of it, just for a moment longer, would you worship the Lord with me?
This world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world.
Jesus, you're the center.
Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget Wednesday night's prophetic service here. Next week with the Vineyards and Pastor Hayes. Tell someone Jesus loves them on your way out. If you'd like to meet Treasurer Doug Ducey, come and meet him. God bless you. Have a great week.